Bill, do you know how warm a witch's closet is?
If I say yes, how much trouble am I in?
Well, I mean...
You know, I've been in a few closets in my life. Let me see. You walked right into that, so let
me
just...
I did. Oh, I didn't
expect say,
that.
I would say it's warmer than her tatas.
It's actually broom temperature.
Oh, broom temperature. I think we got each other on that one.
I didn't even know we were talking about closets, but that's where the joke went.
You know, roads do wind.
We talked about closets last time. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the chance in Wendy the Good Witch's broom, mm-hmm. you know, closet, chalkboard mm-hmm. closet, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome to our closet. Episode.
It is kind of like a closet in here in this little room that we record in the Rural Oklahoma Museum of Poetry. What did we just have to get off the table so that we could sit down and record? A bunch of sidewalk chalk.
There was some chalk and a few craft items, I think. And
some kites.
Yeah, there were some kites. It was fun stuff, yeah. You know.
But it's pretty, it's like a closet in here. Things are kind of just pushed in here and we've got a little room to record.
Yeah, it's a visual, a plethora of distractions
here at Wacky Poem Live, episode 122.
122.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where we come to you from the Rural Oklahoma Museum of Poker?
Poker tree. We're in the closet of poker tree.
Poker, poetry. You know, I used to, in the very first museum that started in 2012, one of the interactive things that people could do was play poker poetry.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I had a deck there that was marked and with words.
Now, who came up with this?
Me.
Poker poetry.
Mm-hmm. Whoever had the best five hand of poetry, because there were words on each of the cards and you put them together to make something poetic.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yes, it is the Rural Oklahoma Museum of Poetry, and we come to you every other week and talk to you about just whatever is going on here in the Poetry Museum.
Whatever's going on, whatever has gone up on the wall, mm-hmm. whatever words might, you know, inspire you.
What has gone down.
What has gone down.
What's in the closet.
What's in the closet.
What's out of the closet.
What's out of the closet. I was thinking... this episode is going to be, our last episode was so much fun with Robert Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was just such a special episode. It might have been my favorite to date.
Really?
It flowed so well. Of course, you know, we're kind of old hats now at this. Things do flow well. But it was just the epitome of what a good episode
it
should
fun.
Be.
Yeah.
And the poem he wrote, I would like him to, I'm going to contact him and ask
him. Oh, he sent it to me.
Oh, good.
I've got it, but I don't have it on me right now.
Well, I thought in the future I would just like to have a copy of
okay.
it.
Okay.
I love that poem.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah.
He posted it on his Instagram.
Oh, nice.
Which I still can't figure out Instagram. I've tried.
It's like Tic Tac. Like that Tic Tac. Okay, of course, that might be banned soon anyway, so.
Oh, really?
Those Tic Tacs.
Well, so we're going to talk to you all today as we did when we first started this podcast years ago.
Years ago? No, doesn't that seem strange to say that? Back when Shipley and Shirley were with us.
Yes. We just talked about poems that people left in the museum or phrases, mm-hmm. words. Sometimes it was just a word mm-hmm. a couple
That's
of
right.
times.
That's right.
Leaving that they've left in the museum, and we just took off from there, and we've... diverge from that somewhat in recent episodes, but we're going to return to it partly. Mm-hmm.
Going somewhat back to our roots.
Mm-hmm. Because we have, I noticed we had our Wonder City Word Fest, our Andival. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to talk today, Bill.
I'm going to correct you, so we're doing fine. Okay. I'm going to keep the things on the road.
Okay.
Yeah, the guardrails.
We had our annual festival, the Wonder City Word Fest, and there were some new poems that cropped up because we had some people here that contributed to some parts of the museum.
That was a fun little festival,
it
by the way.
It was a very
fun
festival.
That was a successful day.
It was.
Some great poetry was read, and mm-hmm. I enjoyed everything.
So there's a little area called it doesn't really have a name, but it's the little broom area. And it's part of the Her Kind, the Witch in History, Popular Culture, and Poetry exhibit, where there's information about brooms, and there's a activity to make a broom from a pipe cleaner. There'll be some pictures up on the wackypoemlife.com if you're not listening from there. You can go over there and you can see the pictures. And some people left a couple of new little couplets in the sort of couplets in the broom area. Mm-hmm. And the activity says create your own broom with some pipe cleaners, and there's all different colors of pipe cleaners. Mm-hmm. And attach it to a string and write a couplet or a short little poem about the broom and hang it up for others to see.
Yes. Share your broom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So there's some new cute little pipe cleaner brooms and some new couplets.
Yes. Well, shall I read one of
yes.
the couplets?
Yes, please.
Okay. Here's the first couplet. They think I stay all day in my room. Little do they know I'm just flying on my broom. Little do they know.
I like that.
What's behind the door?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not staying put.
You know, open that window and hop on that broom and I'm gone.
I'm out of here.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. Yep. You can believe what you want about my life, but I have a broom and I'm taking off.
Yeah. You know, I wrote down that all day in my room. Did you have a room to yourself, Sean, growing up, or did you share with your sisters?
Not until I was 13, maybe, did I have one to myself.
Oh, that's a good age to get one to yourself.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, I remember going to my room and closing the door, and that was my own space.
Yes.
No one knew what went on behind the door.
No.
You know, my ELO posters and my Dr. Moreau posters and my fish and my stereo and...
Mine were Peter Frampton and Elton John posters.
Right. Yeah, classic. But you know, when that door closed, that was your own personal space.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and you felt safe to do things you might not do in the living room or the kitchen or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And if you were lucky, you could open your window and fly out of it on a broom.
I didn't have a broom. I did not have a broom.
You could have made one.
I could have made a broom. Never thought of it.
There's some information that we have with that exhibit, too, just about brooms, because they are associated with the witches. And the word does come from the actual plant, the broom plant. It's a shrub, I guess. And it was used to make, you know, early sweeping devices. So the broom was used to make brooms. And so it became just a regular household object. Sarah Pruitt of History.com said it became a ubiquitous household item and a powerful symbol of female domesticity. And the earliest known images of witches on brooms dates to 1451. And one woman is soaring through the air on a broom in these drawings by a French poet, Martin Lefranc, in his manuscript called The Defender of Ladies. I didn't try to read the French.
Mm-hmm.
That's a translation.
I see.
But they're soaring through the air. One's on a broom and the other one's just on a plain white stick. And they're wearing headscarves. And they're identified as members of a Christian sect founded in the 12th century who were branded as heretics by the Catholic Church, partly because they allowed women to become priests.
There,
interesting.
There, the demonization starts to take root.
15th century.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the association between witches and brooms may have roots in a pagan fertility ritual in which rural farmers would leap and dance astride poles, pitchforks, or brooms in the light of the full moon to encourage the growth of their crops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then beginning in the 17th century, accounts of witches using broomsticks to fly up and out of chimneys became commonplace.
Who saw these witches flying out of the? What were they smoking? You know, I mean, you get a powerful, fertile woman on a broom, and that's going to, you know, intimidate a lot of people, I guess.
Oh well, yeah, and so many images through the centuries are very, you know, kind of scandalous, and because the broom is the way the woman is situated on it artistically.
Yeah, some don't
illustrate it in many ways.
Side saddle, in other words. I see.
It has a lot of meanings. The broom does.
I got it. I see.
So it's a great symbol, and so that's why I wanted to have a little, you know, little bit about it in this exhibit on the witch.
Yeah, you know, you don't see a lot of kids riding little miniature brooms. Now, I had a little plastic horse.
Except when Harry Potter first got really big.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
okay.
of Quidditch. You
oh,
know, the
okay.
game of Quidditch.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a little past my time. But I did have that little plastic horse head that you get at the grocery
mm-hmm.
store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the equivalent of a broomstick. And I could ride that thing.
Yep.
And
I'm
That's when you're great. On it, you move quite fast, or you think you can. So that was my broom, you know, and they got me flying through the house.
Bill, how do you know a witch's car is coming?
You hear vroom, broom, broom.
You're exactly right. You hear broom, broom.
Broom, 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 broom.
I don't know if you listeners could hear at home when I was talking a few minutes ago. There was a car outside that was so loud.
Broom, 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 broom. Yeah.
It penetrated our little
yes.
closet here.
Loud vehicles.
Vroom, vroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I call them attention-seeking devices.
Yes. Why did the broomstick yawn?
Because it was in the wrong gear.
It was sweepy.
It was sweepy. Oh, no. Sweep out of your eyes with these brooms.
Oh. Now, another part of... Oh. Well, maybe we need to go ahead. What was the other couplet? So that was one that someone left. That
yes.
was kind of cool. What was the other one?
I believe the other couplet said, different has always been punished. When will different be celebrated?
Right.
Let me read that again. Mm-hmm. Different has always been punished. When will different be celebrated?
Mm-hmm.
Now, explain something to me. This is a couplet that does not rhyme, and that's totally valid.
It sort of rhymes.
Okay.
Punished, celebrated.
Okay.
Just the very last syllable.
Oh, okay,
rhymes.
I see. Did. Okay. I
sort
like
of.
It.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a neat idea.
And it's a very valid question,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that differences are finally being, I mean, they've always been threatening to
mm-hmm.
to the weak-minded.
The other is always a problem.
To the weak-minded or the what was supposed to be the majority,
mm-hmm.
you know, difference is a threatening
mm-hmm.
situation.
Yeah,
so
people with little minds.
Small minds, feeble
mm-hmm.
minds,
mm-hmm.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and there's another part of the museum where we have something about brooms, but it is something quite different. And I can't remember if we talked about this on a past episode, but we've got the Broomhilda character that's in the main exhibit room from the cartoons.
I grew up with Broomhilda.
Oh, yeah.
Love Broomhilda.
Started in 1970.
Yeah.
Russell Myers started the Broomhilda cartoon April 19th, 1970.
Oh, my gosh.
We just passed that.
We just passed.
That anniversary date. But how 30, 40, 54
mm-hmm.
years,
mm-hmm.
and he's still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
yeah.
I was reading that he has done a whole lot of them. He has like a backlog. In case he gets sick
oh, nice.
Or something. So
Smart.
One will still come out.
Smart. Yes.
Every day.
Yeah.
And Russell Myers, he lived in Tulsa for quite some
oh,
time. Because
okay.
his dad taught at the University of Tulsa. He lives in Oregon now. But I wrote to him when I was putting this exhibit together and just asked him, you know, about Broomhilda and how do you think she fits in the witch tradition? I want to read you the
oh,
little
yeah.
response
okay.
that he wrote this wonderful letter, and he put it on green stationery paper, which
mm-hmm.
I love, and mailed it back to me. It was a very, very nice letter. It says, "Hi, Sean. To answer your question, Broomhilda fits into the tradition of the witch in popular culture like she fits into everything else, rather poorly. She has magic powers, but they're not very good, and she can't seem to make them work properly. She's 1,500 years old and is living proof that age doesn't always bring wisdom. Unlike the popular concept of witches being evil, she's more inept than evil. She would probably like to be evil, but it would take too much time and effort and interrupt her naps. So she'll settle for inept. Best wishes with your exhibit, Russell Myers." And then he drew a little picture of Broomhilda at the bottom of the paper.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite things in the whole
oh,
exhibit.
Yeah. I just love that comic strip.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love her name, Broomhilda.
Yeah, and I, you know, Sean, I wonder, kids today, young people today, I used to love to get the Sunday paper
mm-hmm.
because I would read the comics first, and it was something I would read with cereal or whatever on Sunday morning, especially because
yeah.
that was when the colored comics came out. Excuse me, and I wonder what do young people read now? in lieu of comics, or are they more to the games? Are they
stuff
more
on
into
their
the
phone? I guess.
I suppose so.
I don't know.
I suppose it's more of an electronic type of a reading or an entertainment.
Speaking of your cereal, you know, we used to sit there and read the back of the cereal box too. Of course.
Yes. Yeah. All games and mazes and. You know, get plastic spoons and gadgets and yo-yos.
Anybody young out there listening, going, what are those two old fogies talking about?
Back in that old day, yeah.
There were, Russell Meyer's book together, a bunch of little paperback books, too, that he has various Broomhilda cartoons in. And there's some of them that are poetry. Mm-hmm. He actually called them. Little poems.
Oh, nice. What was the fuzzy character's name in Broomhilda, the little trolley-looking guy?
He's right here.
Oh, him.
And I can't remember his name.
Okay.
Norbert?
Yeah.
Something like that. Is that right?
That sounds right.
And there was a buzzard.
There was a buzzard with a gawky neck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I loved the log, that there was something inside the log. All you could ever see was its eyes.
It
would give you advice.
I've got to research that. The log, the advice log.
But here's one of the Broomhilda poems, and she's just standing there looking proud, and she says, "I'm short and fat and tough and old. I never do just what I'm told. I'm so rough and mean and bold. After they made me, I broke the mold."
You broke the mold. Ever since then, yeah.
Thank you, Russell Myers.
Yeah. I noticed that... On an episode of a television show I was watching Friday night, Elvira was featured.
Oh, yeah.
And she, Cassandra Peterson, had a situation where she felt picked on and inferior, and she had a situation where she was burned and had some skin disfiguration. And she kind of made herself into the sexy Elvira and found power in that.
In the witchiness.
And then found the cult following. You know, she hung out with Paul Rubens back in the day, in the early days in Los Angeles, I suppose. But she hit the stratosphere with Elvira.
Yeah.
And Elvira is now, I mean, my goodness, it's a cultural icon.
That's right.
And she's one of the most, I guess, famous fun witches that there are.
Campy
and fun and very draggy, if you will. So many different styles of witches from, you know, Broomhilda to Elvira. And I loved Witchy Poo growing up from H.R. Puffin stuff. Her laugh and her nose.
She was a little bit like Broomhilda.
She was like Broomhilda. She was kind of inept and nothing. Everything was messing up. The little officers that were with her and that little tarantula creature.
Did she have a broom? I don't remember.
I think she had
Surely
a broom.
She did.
I think she had, yes. And I think it might have ridden that broom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I remember her very distinct laugh. Oh, my gosh. Just really excellent laugh. Good witch laugh.
She had the big nose with the wart on it, too.
Big nose with the wart.
Traditional.
And the white eyelids upper and lower, you know.
Well, Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. Elvira, is one of the witches in our exhibit book.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's a great example from popular culture of how important that kind of symbol is, I think, for people.
And she's kind
of... Express yourself.
Express yourself, and she's taking it back. It's like, you know, I'm not evil. As a matter of fact, I'm imitated. I'm emulated. Some people lust after me, as a matter of fact. not bad for a witch, right?
Right.
So...
Male and female.
Male and female. She's taking back her witchiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is another character in the exhibit book. I'm holding it right now, so I'm thinking about it. Who is associated with brooms, but also baskets and geese, and that's Mother Goose.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people think, what, Mother Goose? She wasn't a witch. Well, go look at some Mother Goose pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and look at what she represented. And some people think that she is a virgin, still having a hard time speaking, Bill. Of a French woman known Goose-Footed Bertha, who told wonderful tales for children. And so the Brothers Grimm equated her with a German Perchta, who was associated with the act of spinning, such as in spinning stories.
I see.
Too.
I see.
So she flew around, and most of the pictures she is flying on a goose, but you can see some where she's in a basket, and then there are some where she is on a broom also.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Mary Poppins, whose broom was an umbrella.
Umbrella,
So we've changed objects. So, you know, that's, I found that interesting.
Yeah. And she did use it because she blew in on an east wind, mm-hmm. but she needed that umbrella to, for a good landing. Mm-hmm.
And Glinda's broom was a bubble.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. I suppose. You know, brooms are more exciting. Yes. Do you remember what was so cool about the Wizard of Oz? She got to skywrite with the broom. Surrender, Dorothy. It was the coolest thing. You
That's
know.
Right.
I thought, wasn't that a powerful thing?
Yeah.
It was very cool.
We just got through talking in the book club just an hour ago, our Witch's Brew book club, about the Gregory Maguire book, Wicked. And we talked about that surrender thing. Because that's not in his reinterpretation of her in the book. But there is a place where he says something about Dorothy surrendering. So there's lots of allusions.
And here's what's funny. I've not thought of what was written in years. But I used to love the movie. And Surrender Dorothy just popped right into my... And I thought, was that what she wrote? I'm pretty sure that's what she wrote.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty deeply ingrained in my little 8-year-old brain.
In fact, outside the museum here, there is a barbed wire tornado that my dad and my sister Kelly constructed. And I was going to, whenever we first put up this exhibit, I was going to try and put the Wicked Witch in it, or, you know, Mrs. Gulch, who she was before she came to Wicked Witch in the movie. And or I also thought about getting a sign that said Surrender Dorothy and sticking it in the tornado. But I didn't wind up doing anything, either one of those. I just left the tornado as it is.
Surrender Dorothy.
Yeah. Somebody came in the museum the other day and asking if a tornado was for sale. And I said, not a chance.
You can't buy a tornado.
Not a chance.
That's a force of nature. You can't harness the wind.
That's a work of art out there, too, though. There's no way.
That's gallery worthy.
Oh.
Absolutely.
I told my dad the other day, because he was talking about it, and I said something about $500. I'm like, what are you talking about? That would go for $100,000 in some New York, maybe more.
Put it in Crystal Bridges.
Yeah.
See what happens. Yeah. Was he thinking of selling it or something?
No, but
no.
He
was trying to get,
because I was telling him this guy asked, and he was wondering what the guy would have offered.
Sean, that's one of those things that if you were to ever part with, you would lament it the rest of your life.
Oh, well,
you know,
yeah.
Because
there's no way.
A, your father made it, and B, it's very symbolic to you.
But you know what I ought to do? I at least could go put a broom through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, how do you, a broom like it, which ran into the tornado?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Somebody'd probably take it out and steal it, though.
I was going to do something lame, listeners, and I was going to put a bunch of plastic cows all over it, like the movie Twister.
Oh my God.
A very good idea. You know, never came to fruition. So it was nixed.
Or, you know, a house. If I had a house.
Yes.
To put in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Dorothy's farmhouse.
Yeah.
Kind of at a catty corner inside of it being twisted and turned.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I could still do it sometime.
I've never seen anything like it, you know, anywhere, you know, a tornado that's fabricated like that.
Mm-hmm. Here's an easy one, Bill. What do witches ask for at hotels?
At hotels, witches ask for
remember
room service.
There you got it.
Uh-huh. Where's my prize?
I was going to tell you, remember our topic.
Yeah. It just landed. Like the house landed on the Wicked Witch of the East. It landed.
It's interesting in that book, Wicked, Gregory Maguire's book. Yeah, that is her sister that the house lands on, but the sister has no arms in the book.
Oh, but you would never know that because you never see her arms. Now, why does she have no arms in the book?
We were just talking about that at book club, and nobody really knew. And I didn't look it up. I could probably looked up some analysis that would give me this deep, dark, you know, interpretation of what the symbolism of not having arms means.
It's sort of a disturbing image to think. You know, a lot of people, very good people, don't have arms. I'm not saying that.
Well, when you have an author that chooses to do, you know, to have a character like that, you wonder, you know, what kind of symbolism there is involved in that. And basically, we just thought, well, maybe it just had to do with that she couldn't touch people, you know, in the traditional way. And so she was all in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of got off track there.
That's all right. You know, we'll get back on.
Do you know, Bill? How do you stop Canadian bacon from curling in the frying pan?
Canadian bacon from curling in the frying pan. It's
a tough one.
Canadian bacon curling in the front. You got to, you know, head south of the border and put it on the straightening iron. I don't know.
You take away its little tiny broom.
Now explain that again. Canadian bacon from curling in the frying pan. That makes no sense. What is it?
It's a sport of curling.
Oh, the curling.
In Canada.
Oh, curling. Okay. Well, see, that totally slipped my
Isn't that funny?
Realm of consciousness.
I love that one.
Makes you think.
Playing in the frying pan. Yeah. Stop curling in there.
Yeah. It's so hot, you know.
Sorry.
That's funny. And I bet there are people who don't know what the sport of curling is, even listening, perhaps.
It's an interesting sport.
I enjoy the one that has to clear the ice ahead of the curler.
Yeah, with the broom, right? Is he using the broom?
It's some sort of a mm-hmm. device to smooth the ice and allow mm-hmm. it to slide. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Brooms have a lot of purposes.
They do have a lot of purposes, yes. Right. I prefer a blower. Myself, you know, it's hard to blow inside the house with that, you know, turbo blower.
Oh, you know, but what's that practice of when you're first married, people jump over a broomstick?
I think that's got an African-American
connotation.
Jump the broom. Jump the broom means to tie the knot. Uh-huh. Jump the broom, tie the knot, get hitched.
But you physically did it. I mean,
you physically did jump over the broom. Jewish people, they smashed the goblet or glass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of interesting traditions.
Is that jumping over the broom? It must be something about your house. That you're establishing a new home.
I think so.
And the broom is representative of that.
Yeah.
And it's like a beginning. So you're jumping over like you're stepping over a threshold.
Yeah. And I wonder if you sweep after you jump. I don't know.
You know, do you start curling?
Curling. Maybe it's when you jump, you're like, it's like you jump over a ledge. What have I done?
It's all downhill from
all
here.
Yeah, threshold. Yeah.
Well, now, you did bring a poem.
I brought a poem, but but it's not anything to do with brooms. There's not anything broom-like on it.
Well, let's do this challenge then.
Okay.
Because I don't know what poem you're talking about. It's one you wrote.
Well,
maybe as you're saying it, I will figure out what it has to do with brooms.
So you want me to read my poem?
And yes.
Okay, because I thought this maybe for another time when I might hit on topic.
It's up to you. Do you want to read it or not?
I'll read it. And
listeners, do you want Bill to read his poem?
Of course, listeners do. All my seven fans. You know, it has no title. I'm going to read. Almost 1 mile exactly from the front door to the mailbox and back. A mile-long country lane of rock and dirt, a rocky trail tapestry of life and death and beauty, where one day a white admiral has landed on the road to warm her wings, and the very next, at almost the exact spot, a lifeless raccoon wears a crimson necklace and a red halo, its throat torn. A battle during the night has crowned a victor and claimed a victim. Further down by Barn Hill, a slender vine snake, green as grass, pays the price for choosing to warm on the rocks, unable to move fast enough to escape heavy tread. Deer wave their white flags and cross quickly in mock alarm. Trees full of mystery birds wait to be named. Hover and dragonflies zig and zag alongside shiny tendrils of new sawbriar, too tender yet to grab, wait to toughen and wield their thorny stabby thorns, reaching for any movement. Comedy and tragedy and beauty and stillness, all of it is here in a nearly 1 mile walk to the mailbox and back.
That's lovely. I like that.
I walk every day, almost every day, you know, and I have a mantra, Sean. Pulse rate up, blood sugar down. Pulse rate up, blood sugar down.
That's a bad mantra.
It's bad, but it's like, you know, it's like, okay. But now
I don't mean bad, you know, in the sense of you
now
shouldn't
I have
be
earbuds.
Thinking that.
Now I have earbuds, so I don't have to, you know.
You need something more poetic than that, though. That's what I'm saying.
And plus, you know, it's kind of old. It's more, it's sort of army-esque, I think.
So. Well, you were, your poem is about the sweeping away of one day and one image that is replaced with another day. And another image.
That is true. You sweep away like an eraser mm-hmm. sweeping.
So, that is very so true. Now you have a title.
Okay. Remind me of my title again. sweeping away, or you know, sweeping.
Don't put swept away. People think it's romantic.
Sweeping images.
Romantic okay. Harlequin poem. Okay.
Yeah. It was just really, really funny because I was like I was telling Sean and listeners, butterflies tend to warm themselves on this rocky road, and it's in the woods, and it's really cool to watch them this time of year because they're fresh and lovely and everywhere, and their wings are not tattered. And I was watching this white admiral or red-spotted purple. And look it up. They're beautiful. And the very next day, on the very almost the same spot, there was this large adult raccoon who had lost its life in a battle, I believe. That's my opinion. And laying in the very same spot. And I thought, my emotion standing here is totally mm-hmm. different than yesterday. Mm-hmm. I thought, let me write this down. Well, WWTD, what would Teal do? So I wrote
what would Edwin Way Teal do?
What would Edwin Way Teal do? So I wrote this. As you do, we write these things down.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I write a poem a day because I put it on an email list that I still have people that are subscribed to, and they still read them.
I read them. So, I read them every day.
Yeah. So every day there's usually something that happens, and it's like, okay, I'm writing about that today. And so I can see what you're talking about.
And it's like putting things on a calendar to remember things. And in the scheme of things, none of these are small events. They kind of are large events.
That's what poetry is. It takes a something that is seemingly small mm-hmm. and everyday, mundane, mm-hmm. and it shows you how it is everything.
Yeah. And the power comes in other people saying, I identify. That's mm-hmm. me also. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of power in that. I like that.
Yeah.
Shared experience.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You yeah. swept us all into that.
I like that. Yeah, we got swept into that vortex. Into that tornado.
Well, I mean, why did the broom win the dance off?
Why did the broom win the dance? Because the floor had sawdust all over it. It needed to be swept away. Swept away.
The competition.
Away, swept. And did you know that's a great, listeners, you don't know this, but there's a great club dance song in the 1980s. And
there might be somebody that knows this.
And it's called Swept Away by Diana Ross. It is so, let me tell you, it was such a cool song.
While we're on that topic, I saw today somewhere on the internet that they are doing a sequel to Queen of the Desert, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Are you serious?
With the same three guys. Oh, I'm like, Terrence Stamp is still alive? Right. He is.
Bernice
He's still
is still
alive.
With us.
Terrence Stamp, Hugo Weaving, and Guy Pearce all yeah. going to be back.
Oh, how cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That was like 95, 94.
It was a long time ago.
That is really cool.
I looked it up because I didn't quite believe it. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, he's eight. Terrence Stamp's 85.
That was such a funny movie.
Yeah, it was awesome.
My favorite line is, you know, when Bernice spins down to, she's going to pet the dog, and what's his name? Herpes. If he's good, he'll heal. And she decides, I'm not going to pet the dog.
I'm not touching it after all.
that was good news. I'm going to look for that.
Yeah.
How cool.
I was surprised. I guess he's still doing okay.
You were right. You know, it's all those pills he took, you know, Bernice took.
I love some of his really old movies, The Collector. Have you ever seen that movie?
No, I remember him from one of the villains in Superman, the first Superman.
Oh, no, it's even before that.
Way before that.
Yeah.
He's British, correct? Well-known British or Australian actor.
I think he's British.
British?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other two are Australian.
Guy Pearce and mm-hmm. Mitzi and Felicia. Why do I know so much about that movie?
I don't know. Maybe it has to do with how we started this episode. Okay. Well, thank you all for being with us on our tour of brooms and other things.
Yeah, we swept through this episode real quickly.
There you go. We just swept everyone away with our poetic
and they enjoy going with us.
Words. Mm-hmm. I did manage to say a few sentences that were all the words were correct.
Exactly. Used our guardrails. We stayed on the road. Bounced around.
Yeah. All right. So we will see you all next time. Thank you very much.
Look forward to
Spread the word.
Yeah.
Don't a doggy.
Bye, guys.